The following programming is sponsored by the Museum of Sports. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
And the Philadelphia Eagles and Cowboys will be trying to better each other tomorrow. Both squads looking to come up with their second win of the young season. Don't forget, we'll have every play of the Eagles-Dallas game beginning at 1 o'clock. Then at 4:30, it will be Eagles wrap-up with Al Meltzer anchoring and Ron Burke live at Texas Stadium. Stay with Channel 10 all day long for the most complete Eagles coverage humanly possible.
Every one of us is a walking museum of sports, from that first ball game with your folks to maybe getting that nervous, sweaty autograph to maybe even taking your own kids to their very first game. It's the feeling we all get that brings us all back to kind of our own personal Philly field of dreams. And the Museum of Sports show is on the air and ready to go there with you. I'm Doug Scheimel. Our show is dedicated to sports memories and memorabilia and the museum that is finalizing a home down in the South Philly Sports Complex. We're live on the Talk 860 and Museum of Sports Facebook pages, so take a look. The night terrors don't last that long. Museum of Sports show brought to you by the DePachi Franklin Cardiovascular Center. They are the specialists in non-invasive treatment. Joining me as always every week from his sports cave in Villanova, he is truly our guide and mentor, Comcast Spectacor legend, which he reminds us of every week, founding vice president of the Philadelphia Flyers and creator of the Museum of Sports and author of the book, Blades, Bands, and Ballers, How Flash and Cash Rescued the Flyers and Created Philadelphia's Greatest Showplace. Ladies and gentlemen, Philadelphia's greatest showman, Mr. Lou Scheinfeld. How you doing, Lou?
I'm doing great. I'm not too happy with our 76ers because I've never seen an organization get so screwed up so fast. I'm a big Sixers fan. I was president of the team many years ago with Julius Erving and Murray Cheeks, and I just don't get it. And they got a lot of money behind the team. They bring in the biggest stars, and 2-12. I mean, can they straighten out, make the play, or are we going to tank and get the first draft choice? I don't know.
Yeah, trust the process. Coming up today, he went from policy wonk at Philadelphia City Hall to marketing his own baseball, barbecue, grill equipment and sauce and gear. And he's a sports author to boot. Ladies and gentlemen, Brett Mandel is making a debut appearance on the Museum of Sports show today. And he grew up a Philly sports fan with Lou Scheinfeld and lived to tell about it. Sports merchandising guru and member of the Museum of Sports Board of Advisors, and is going to be showing us some new Museum of Sports merchandise. Mr. Stephen Timon is going to be joining us. And our King of Sports Collectibles is going to be here to talk about what's hot and what's not and what's affordable in the sports collectible market and how you can get a sneak peek at what's going to be in the Museum of Sports down at the DePachi collection at their little sneak preview museum in Sewell, New Jersey. Nick DePaccia Jr. is going to be on the Museum of Sports show. But up first, you see him there in the Zoom box. He's been a fixture in Philly sports media for more than four decades, the bulk of which was at KYW News Radio and at WCAU-TV, later NBC 10. And in his dotage, in his retirement, he's the internal public address announcer for the Philadelphia Eagles and the Villanova Wildcats, a member of the Philadelphia Jewish Sports Hall of Fame, and named Good Guy of the Year by the Philadelphia Sports Writers Association. A huge Museum of Sports show. First time welcome to Mr. Jeff Ash. Jeff, how are you?
Hi, Doug. Thanks for having me. Hey, Lou.
How are you?
Good.
Did I whack up that intro pretty good?
That was just the way I wrote it.
Yeah, thanks. Exactly.
That's great.
Jeff, you and I worked briefly in the same building there at 10 Monument Road. It is now being turned. It was one of the first buildings. It was the first building designed specifically as a broadcast facility. And it was bought after the studio was moved to the second Comcast tower by Susquehanna Investment Group. And they are turning our old workplace into a health club for the employees.
It's a shame. That's all I can say.
Well,
what a great building with so much history, and I'm so sorry to hear that. I haven't driven by there in a while, but I'm just so sorry to hear that.
Yeah, drive by and you'll see the ellipticals and exercise bikes in the windows that were the ramp that went up to the main studio there, right at the corner.
Yeah,
you were in that building you were born in that building, weren't you, Jeff?
Yeah, I think I was. I started there at CAU Radio in 1979, And then I switched over to TV in 82 and worked back and forth between radio and TV up until 1990. And then I left Channel 10 in 96. So, yeah, I was there for 17 years. Yeah.
Yeah. And you could hear that clip off the top and you were shaking your head.
Yeah.
And I used a still shot of that in the promo. You were like a little kid then. You're a little boy.
That was a long time ago. It was about 50 pounds ago, I think.
I was trying to figure out who the female anchor is.
Well, they were the golden days there, Jeff, in the beginning with Facenda and Whitaker and just a wonderful, wonderful show. That they think that investigative journalism, they were so far ahead of their time. And I used to go there when Bill Campbell on Chestnut Street had a timeout show every Saturday morning at 10 a.m.
Well,
and we would win prizes. I came home with an NBA basket with the net. And my parents said, where are you going to put that? We're in a row house on Girard Avenue. I put it on the third floor, screwed it into the door frame, and it fell down and ripped all the that didn't work out.
Well, I had the pleasure of doing a sports talk show with Bill Campbell after he stopped doing play-by-play. CAU Radio hired him to do a show with me to get the two different outlooks on sports, because Bill was older than I was, and I was much younger at the time. So it was a good mix between the old and the young.
He was so excellent. I know that doesn't sound right to say so excellent, but he was so wonderful. His voice should not go away. And one of the things we're going to do at our Museum of Sports when we open down in the sports complex is we're going to have a tribute to Philadelphia broadcasting and writing from Stan Hockman, Bill Campbell, By Som, Gene Kelly, all the greats, Ashburn, Bill Campbell was my hero. I remember when I finally met him, I said, you were my hero when I was a kid. He says, what do you mean a kid? You're the same age as me.
Well, you were probably like me. You probably listened to him on a transistor radio late at night as you
under
were going
the covers.
To bed.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
he was just a legend. And these were, and I had grown up in Connecticut, but I remember hearing these names and the call letters a kid in Fairfield County, Connecticut. And you saw how many greats like Jack Whitaker passed through here. And once Brookshire retired, I used to watch two guys, Pat Summerall and Tom Brookshire, This Week in Pro Football, which was produced out of the NFL film studio.
Sure, Mount Laurel.
And there was a restaurant down the street called San Marco.
Yeah,
where a lot of those guys used to go between the 6 and 11 show.
City Line.
Barely make it back to the 11 o'clock show.
Yeah, I think it was City Line in Haverford. You're right,
And I was going to say, and there was a hotel nearby that folks availed themselves of.
Across the street, the Marriott.
Yes. Yep.
And the Contiki.
The restaurant, absolutely.
Yeah, the Adams Mark. Now, you were a Central High guy and a Temple guy, so you were sort of steeped in the sadness and depression and inferiority complex of Philly sports. Is that did that sort of hardwire you to go into sports casting?
Boy, I remember my parents had season tickets to the Eagles, 50-yard line, second row at Franklin Field. Mm. And I started going when I was 8 years old. And that was the mid 60s, and they were awful. The Eagles were just awful back then. So you're probably right. I grew up with a lot of bad teams. But when I was at Central in my junior year, I said, I better take stock of my life and figure out what I want to do. So the three things I loved were sports, TV, and travel. And I put them together and came up with sports broadcasting. And as a matter of fact, Lou, in my Central High School yearbook, it says Jeff Ash, sports broadcasting for, what I wanted to do when I, started working. So I was very, very fortunate. And I was able to stay in Philadelphia my whole career. I mean, that doesn't happen. But all 45 years professionally in the Philadelphia area. Yeah.
Yes, and Jeff, the Frank Franklin Field was the absolute best place to watch a football game. What a one. Even with no seat backs.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
Well, you went straight from kind of the childhood sports memories straight into, you know, basically being a witness to sports history and a lot of those key moments. What are the one or two that sort of stick out to you, either from radio, from TV, from producing?
Oh, my gosh. Gosh, there's so many. One of my favorite stories, and I'll make it brief. When I was at WCAU Radio in 1980, the Phillies won the World Series. And I remember I was in the office that day at City Line and Monument Road, and we're getting calls from all the different radio stations around the country wanting us to go on live with that radio station. So I remember we got a call, I think it was KCBS Radio in San Francisco, and they said, is there somebody there that can talk about the parade? So I said, yeah, I'm in the sports department. I can talk about the parade. So they put, as they're putting me on the air, I hear them say, let's go live to Broad Street in Philadelphia, where WCAU's Jeff Ash is standing. Well, I'm in the newsroom. So I cup the phone and I say, yell, everybody, yell like you're at the parade. Well, Joe, as you can hear, it's pandemonium here on Broad Street, and nobody knew. Nobody knew. That's one of my favorite stories.
It's the magic. So. And you got to, now. Who was on the sports staff at CAU TV then? Was it Al Meltzer? Because that's what you mentioned.
It was Big Al, was my mentor. He came down the hallway one day in 1982 and said, "Do you want to be a sports producer on the weekends?" And I said, "Sure." What does that mean? He said, "Don't worry, you'll learn. You'll learn." He hired me away from CAU Radio and had the privilege of working with Al for 14 years. Also worked with Joe Pellegrino, who just recently passed away.
Yep, saw that.
Ron Burke, Bi Sikahema, Hugh Gannon. Lou, I'm sure you remember that name.
He started Prism. He did Prism.
Exactly. So I worked with a lot of really, really good people. Yep.
Well, I'll tell you, it was funny. Lou's heard this story, but the first day on the job there, and this guy comes up to me and he puts his hands out and he goes, Doug, Al Meltzer, glad to see they're bringing somebody old school back in, some of these others.
Did he say that?
And I looked at him and I said, I used to see you as a kid. I would watch This Week in Pro Football with Pat Sommerlin and Tom Brookshire, and when they would be on the road with CBS calling a game, there was this guy with like this checked jacket and paisley shirt and plaid tie and Madras slacks sit in for them. And he goes, and I have every last one of those things in my closet today.
Yeah, sure he did.
he was just a prize, absolute prize.
Al got to broadcast, do the play-by-play for three of the greatest athletes of all time. He did the Sixers with Wilt. He did the Buffalo Bills with OJ.
Oh.
And he did the, now I can't remember the other one. Might have been Kareem Abdul-Jabbar with Milwaukee. But anyway, he did three of the, he had great jobs. He had great jobs. And he was so good, just so smooth.
Yeah.
He could ad-lib his way out of a brown paper bag. He was the best.
He was one of those classic old school garrulous kind of guys that you could go out and have the cocktail with at the end of the evening. So I got to ask you, Jeff, before we get into your if you had any little sports memorabilia there, very quick take on the Eagles. What happens to them? Does this trend keep going that this arc?
Yeah,
been on?
I think they're the real deal. I think they'll go as far as Jalen will take them. As long as he can hold on to the football, I think they're in good shape. I mean, they're solid and they're deep. And I think they're going to go far. I really do.
You heard Lou's take on the Sixers. Do you disagree with that?
Not at all. Yeah. It's time for them to move on from Joe. You know why? It's not because they necessarily are bad. It's because there's apathy. People don't care.
Yeah,
it'd be different if they really. I don't think people, you know, they're just not paying attention to them. And as sports franchise, that ain't good.
Yep. Flyers. What do you think?
On the way up, I like Tortorella. I know a lot of people don't. I think they have a lot of good young players. I think they're going in the right direction with the management that they have in there, and Jones and Briere. I think they're going forward.
God, I hope so. So because this is the Museum of Sports show and we are sort of the outreach arm of the Museum of Sports, what are your thoughts on Philly finally getting a long overdue sports shrine and museum? And our partner, they have the world's largest and most valuable sports memorabilia collection, and that's going to be housed at the museum. I mean, did you think something like this should have happened decades ago?
Absolutely. And the thing about Philadelphia is that when it comes to sports, it's not just people within the borders of the city.
Yeah.
It's not only the five-county area in Pennsylvania and South Jersey. It's worldwide. No matter where you go, people are wearing Eagles shirts or Philly shirts. It's crazy how many people are Philadelphia sports fans that don't even live in the area that I'm sure would come when they come to Philadelphia, will make this number one or number two on their list of things to do.
It'll be like Graceland.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, before we go, Jeff, do you have a little piece of memorabilia there? Maybe that's part of your own collection.
It's unfortunately it's too big. It's downstairs.
That Lombardi trophy you took, right?
It's a long and boring story. I won't tell you, but, I was on vacation in South Florida, and we went to a Phillies Marlins game, and there were like 10 of us. And it happened to be the day or the night that Roy Halladay pitched the perfect game.
Yep.
So I was at his perfect game, and we still have the stubs, the ticket stubs.
Really?
They don't even have them anymore. We still have the ticket stubs. And I had our holiday card. My wife took a picture of the last out, and it's him throwing the ball. And it says, "Hope you have a perfect holiday season."
Yeah.
And I had him sign it.
Oh, man. And we're going to have to ask our King of Sports Collectibles the value on that. Longtime sportscasting fixture in Philadelphia, Jeff Ash. Great to see you, my friend.
Good to see you. Thank you for
coming on the Museum of Sports Show. Would love to have you as a part of our board of advisors if you'll have us.
Love to help out in any way I can. And Lou, let's
stay in touch. We'd like to get you involved.
Absolutely.
Okay. Jeff, thank you, man.
All right,
we want to make sure our viewers and listeners go to themuseumofsports.org and make a tax-deductible contribution now so you can be part of the Museum of Sports and the Sports Shrine, finalizing a home at the South Philly Sports Complex. And we're going to be talking about some cool swag coming up with Stephen Timon that we're going to be having for folks who donate. And don't forget to buy Lou's book, Blades, Bands, and Ballers, at themuseumofsports.org. When we come back, Philly City Hall Politico and baseball barbecue sauce maker Brett Mandel when the Museum of Sports Show continues here on Talk 860 and Facebook Live. Back in a couple of minutes.
It was 1967 and Philadelphia was in a rut. The economy, riots, Vietnam. That is, until the Broad Street Bullies rallied the region's spirits and brought more than 2 million into the streets to celebrate. You can read all about it in Lou Scheinfeld's candid memoir, Blades, Bands, and Ballers, available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. You'll love the inside stories about Frank Sinatra, Ed Snyder, Bernie Parent, Frank Rizzo, Elvis Presley, the 76ers, Mick Jagger, Electric Factory Concerts, and Kate Smith. And you'll find out how Lou Scheinfeld helped Ed Snyder rescue the Flyers and, against all odds, got the Spectrum built. Blades, Bands, and Ballers. Get a signed first edition copy at themuseumofsports.org. Themuseumofsports.org. The book the Philadelphia Inquirer called a fascinating and hilarious read. Blades, Bands, and Ballers. An ode to a building that truly rocked.
The Museum of Sports Show is presented by Depatche Franklin Cardiovascular and Autonomic Center. Dr. Nicholas Depatche is a caring specialist who uses natural antioxidants, nitric oxide, and anti-inflammatory agents to treat heart disease, hypertension, palpitations, and more with minimum medicines. To learn more, please call Dr. Nicholas Depatche, MD-FACC, author of 4 books and over 100 articles and abstracts at 856-589-6034. That's 856-589-6034.
Did you miss a recent Museum of Sports show? No worries. You can see or listen to any of our previous shows on the Museum of Sports website or on our Facebook page. You'll love our lineup of great guests, including Merrill Reese, the Eagles' Vi Sekahema, Bill Berge and Kevin Riley, Flyers broadcasters Jim Jackson and Steve Coates, and the Phillies' always colorful Larry Boa. The Museum of Sports is on the air and Facebook, and you can join the fun every Thursday, 4 to 5 p.m. on WWDB 860 and Facebook Live.
In recent weeks, we have learned that the Philadelphia Eagles believe that they had a secret deal to avoid paying the city of Philadelphia more than $8 million the team owes as part of the deal that kept the Eagles in Philadelphia. It is long past time we resolve this issue. I'm here today to tell you that as city controller, I will ensure that the city is paid the money it is owed.
We're back on the Museum of Sports show here on Talk 860 and Facebook Live, brought to you by the Depatche Franklin Cardiovascular Center. They are the specialists in non-invasive treatment. I'm Doug Scheimel, along with Lou Scheinfeld. That tough-talking campaign ad right there belongs to our next guest. He knows really where all the bodies are buried at Philadelphia City Hall after years in the city controller's office, holding politicians' feet to the financial fire. And, outside of that, he's been a rabble-rouser in many Philly community activists, organizations. And somewhere along the line, he started his own baseball barbecue sauce and grill gear company and authored the book, Minor Players, Major Dreams, Is This Heaven? The Magic of the Field of Dreams. A huge sports fan growing up in Philadelphia and a member of the Museum of Sports Board of Advisors, a big Museum of Sports show. Hello to Brett Mandel. Brett, how are you?
Thanks for having me. And of course, the joke was on us. The Eagles never ended up paying that money.
Yeah, I remembered that whole topic, and we all reported on it at the time. And as soon as I saw that, I was like, "What became of that? And how did they weasel out of that?"
It all became part of the stadium finance deal. So, City of Philadelphia was on the hook for hundreds of millions of dollars. Of course, we have a beautiful football stadium and a lovely ballpark to show for it.
Yeah, well, I guess it was money well spent, was it? I don't know.
Well, it certainly was money spent. The taxpayers.
it was money spent. Yeah. Hell yeah. So either your talents are many and varied over the years, Brett, or you have a severe case of the ADHD. So I don't know what it is. Obviously, you're born and raised here, a huge sports fan. You kind of have no choice but to suffer everything.
Of course. I remember my son was a teeny little leaguer. And when the Taney Dragons lost that Little League World Series, he starts bawling. And I, of course, start crying with him, but also laughing because I realize, oh, my God, this is your first crushing sports defeat. You probably have another 24 of them in your life coming up.
Yes. You know, Brett, the kids who are 16 years old in Boston have already been to 10 parades.
Yeah.
Well, Lou, of course, I made the mistake of becoming a sports fan during the Flyers run. And of course, the Sixers were good back then. The Eagles went to the Super Bowl. Phillies, of course, won their first World Series. When I became a bar mitzvah, the teams were terrible again. And I remember asking my dad, what is this? I thought our teams are not good. And back then, of course, you had to open up an encyclopedia of sports. And he showed me that for a century, Philadelphia had terrible teams. That was my coming of age in Philadelphia.
Yeah, it didn't just start with your generation or Lou's generation or my generation. That's the thing everybody thinks, oh, my God, I've cursed this town with my presence. But now, did you play sports? Did you have dreams of being an athlete growing up? How did all of that morph into, burying the bodies at City Hall?
Well, sure. Like any kid growing up in Northeast Philadelphia, played wall ball and stick ball and half ball and wiffle ball. And when we could actually get into the playgrounds, we played baseball, football, basketball. I was a pretty good little baseball player, liked to play hockey just for fun, and still play as an old guy on the baseball fields.
You do fantasy camp?
No. I'm actually commissioner of the Greater Philadelphia Men's Adult Baseball League, and a fairly handy infielder for our team, the Bad News Bears.
Right. You went right to the top, right to the top of the organization. And it has probably got a balanced budget with a surplus, and they'll be building their own stadium.
But when people ask me, why do you run the baseball league? I always say, because I don't trust anybody else to run it as well as I do. So the games are going to be played. We're going to have nice fields. The umpires are going to be paid. The balls are not going to be crappy. It's going to be a good time.
Sounds like you're organized.
A little bit.
Well, I gave you a little bit of grief about that old campaign spot, but obviously, you know, there is this nexus of sports and politics and money, and you know, every city is always faced with it. Every time a franchise, you know, threatens to pick up and leave, we're seeing all sorts of interesting contortions with the 76th place, you know, wanting to move to the fashion district. It's sort of a damned if you do, damned if you don't position when you're in government and you're having to sort of keep these franchises happy.
Of course, that's not an easy decision for a mayor, for council members. But more than perhaps any American city, sports and Philadelphia are connected. If you want to understand the Philadelphia civic psyche, you have to understand the Philadelphia sports psyche. And that's, of course, one of the reasons that I'm drawn to the Museum of Sports project, is that no city deserves a Museum of Sports more than Philadelphia does. And no city can do a Museum of Sports better than the city of Philadelphia could.
Amen. Amen. We had longtime sports reporter, anchor producer Jeff Ash on the previous segment. And he said that he was stunned when he would travel to cover Philly teams, mostly Eagles, that there are just deep embedded pockets of Eagles fans everywhere, and Philly sports fans everywhere. And he said he could see a museum here being sort of like a Mecca. I called it like a Graceland almost.
Absolutely. Certainly, if you're going to understand Philadelphia's chip on our shoulder inferiority complex, our fatalistic attitude, you have to understand the collapse of the 1964 Phillies. You have to understand that the throwing snowballs at Santa Claus. You need to understand the up 10 points at halftime in the Super Bowl only to lose. Philadelphia feels this more deeply than other cities. We are more connected to our teams than in other places. Our self-worth is tied to the performance of our teams.
Well, you know, one of the most famous city controllers was a great basketball player by the name of Tom Gola. Not many people would know that. And one of the things we want to do at the Museum of Sports is celebrate these people. I had lunch with a nephew who's a swimmer at Villanova, and he never heard of Tom Gola. And now, it's, like I said, it's not even on the arena anymore. And what an icon, what a fantastic Philadelphian, a player. We want to honor people like that. We want kids to know who Bobby Clark was 10 years from now, who Allen Iverson, who the guy behind me, Julius Erving. Who he was, Will.
Who was Nick Foles? Why is there a bronze to a backup quarterback in front of
right,
our stadium?
Right.
No other team has a backup quarterback.
Absolutely. And these are things that can't be forgotten. And we were just talking with Jeff Ash, former CAU radio and TV icon. And we were talking about Bill Campbell and Byram Stom and Jack Whitaker and Bill Meltzer and some of the great names of Stan Hockman, the writer. Sandy Grady, these people will be remembered at the museum. And I think that's an important aspect of our mission.
And of course, it didn't just start this century. You can go back the previous century. Octavius Caddo, who was a civil rights pioneer in Philadelphia, was also a barrier breaker in baseball with a space between base and ball. His team, the Pythians, was a team of black players who would play against white teams before baseball became segregated.
I did not know that. Thank you.
Yeah. That's, you never know what you're going to learn on the Museum of Sports show here. And when Brett Mandel's on.
Breaking news.
Hey, Brett, I have to ask you, did you have a piece of memorabilia there that's sort of near and dear to you in your wall of fame there?
I, of course, have many pieces of memorabilia somewhere back there. I don't know if you can see it. I do have tickets, the block of tickets to the 1964 World Series, which anytime I'm feeling good about anything in my life, of course, I'll glance at that and say, well, you can't take anything for granted.
Hey, so obviously all of this sort of landed pretty solidly with your startup venture called Baseball Barbecue.
Indeed.
And I've sort of shared it for those watching on Facebook Live. We've got the website. It's a pretty cool collection. What prompted? I'm assuming you're a big grill guy.
So my buddies and I, who still play old guy baseball, go to tournaments. And one day while we're sitting there waiting for the next game to start, drinking some beers, relaxing in the hot tub, my buddy told me how his dad took a cracked baseball bat, sawed off the handle, and used it to repair a broken grill fork. And there came the idea that we patented of baseball bat handle barbecue tools. Of course, they feel terrific in your hand. They look wonderful. We can engrave them with anything custom or Phillies logos, any major league team. We'll do the Mets or the Yankees if you ask us and pay us, but we like doing the Phillies a lot more. And this business has taken off.
Yeah.
So people can go visit baseballbbq.com and check out everything for the holidays.
They are really, really cool looking pieces here. Like I said, I'm going to abuse the friends and family discount. And it's really neat because you've got all sorts of different racks for them. You've got apparel, too. You've got rubs and sauces.
And our rubs and sauce, frankly, is how I came to be connected to the Museum of Sport and came to meet you, because Chef Big Rube, our pal, Rube Harley, who is the chef behind our barbecue sauce and our rub, was telling me about connecting with you. And I said, Rube, connect me to Lou, connect me to Doug, because I would love to help make this happen.
Do you think any of those bat handles could help the Phillies from swinging at those balls that are already bouncing in front of the plate?
If you're swinging at balls, it doesn't help. Like, yeah, our tools can only hit strikes.
Well, City Hall watchdog, baseball barbecue guru and author, Brett Mandel, thanks for being on the Museum of Sports show. And we love having you on the board of advisors. You're just a wonder to have, and your sports history is just confounding.
Thank you guys so much. One of these days, come over here and I'll show off everything to you.
Oh, hell yeah. Brett, thanks so much, man. Hey, up, new Museum of Sports merchandise. Also, did our next guest father doom Pelly Lindbergh? He's got a really weird story. Stephen Timon's going to be here when the Museum of Sports show continues on Talk 860 and Facebook Live. Back in a moment.
Can you imagine Philadelphia without the Broad Street Bullies or its fabled Spectrum Arena? Well, it almost happened until Lou Scheinfeld and Ed Snyder, otherwise known as Flash and Cash, teamed up to rescue the Flyers and got America's Showplace up and running. It was 1967, and the world was in a whole different place. You can read all about it in Lou Scheinfeld's heartfelt memoir, Blades, Bands, and Ballers. Get a signed copy at themuseumofsports.org. themuseumofsports.org. Blades, Bands, and Ballers, now available.
The Museum of Sports show is presented by Depatche Franklin Cardiovascular and Autonamic Center. Dr. Nicholas Depatche is a caring specialist who uses natural antioxidants, nitric oxide, and anti-inflammatory agents to treat shortness of breath, brain fog, chronic disease, autonomic dysfunction syndrome, and more with minimum medicines. To learn more, please call Nicholas Depatche, MD, FACC, at 856-589-6034. That's 856-589-6034.
Who remembers the Philadelphia A's or the Warriors or the old arena at 46th and Market? We do, and that's why the Museum of Sports is being planned for Philadelphia. What's it like to face a 100-mile-an-hour fastball, ride your bike up the Maniunk Wall, or drive in the Pocono 500? We've got rare items from Babe Ruth, Mike Schmidt, Chuck Bednar, Bernie Perron, and Wilt Chamberlain. The Museum of Sports is on the air, and you can join the fun every Thursday, 4 to 5 p.m. on WWDB 860.
Perhaps the single most important player on Keenan's resilient Flyers was the team's young goalie.
Pelly Lindbergh really carried the Flyers hockey team. He played a lot like Bernie Perron. He wasn't a huge goaltender, but he had great reflexes.
We're back on the Museum of Sports Show, sponsored by the DePachi Franklin Cardiovascular Center. They are the specialists in non-invasive treatment. I'm Doug Scheimel, along with Lou Scheinfeld. We're live on Talk 80 and the Museum of Sports Facebook page as well. So check us out. Our next guest survived growing up in Philadelphia with Lou Scheinfeld. He lived to tell about it. He has been a lifelong Philly sports fan, and he's parlayed that love into a whole host of merchandising enterprises over the years, both in Philly and down the shore. And he's been working tirelessly on some new Museum of Sports merchandise. He's a member of the Museum of Sports Board of Advisors. And as you heard from that little tribute to Pelly Lindbergh, he's got kind of an eerie Pelly Lindbergh story to tell. Everybody say hi to Stephen Timon. Stephen, how are you?
Hi, everybody. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Scheinfeld, since I'm probably saying,
growing up with Lou Scheinfeld, I just want to say how sorry I am, and are you okay?
I am great. Lou is a wonderful man.
He really was like as a kid.
Thank you.
I liked him as a kid. I like him better as an adult.
Oh, that's very nice of you. Well, Steve was a toddler when I played with his dad on our softball team, and we were a pretty serious softball team. We had fights. We didn't like to lose.
That's the hallmark of a serious team.
Right, right. And Steve was a little brat, and he and his brother ran around and picked up our bats and moved the stuff. And I finally had to sit him down and say, listen, kid, I know you're only 5 or 6, but get out of our way, okay?
Oh.
But he grew up okay.
We used to come there with Lou's kids and everybody else's kids. I could still name everybody that was on the Colonials.
Yeah.
Even though the name of the team, damn it.
Well, we all grew up in 2nd and Cheltenham, and my street was the Colonials.
All right.
So were you a sports fan? If you're tagging along with them and their softball team, were you a big sports kid?
I have fond memories of Connie Mack Stadium. I have memories of Franklin Field, going to a football game with my dad. In 1968,
wow,
April 4th to be exact, was my first hockey game.
Really?
Yes. And Lou Scheinfeld hired my father's friend, Ivan Schlickman, who was like an uncle to me. And I'm very close to his wife, who's still living, Bobby Schlickman. And we went to the Flyers game with my dad and Lou and a couple other people. And in the middle of the game, comes across a blurb that said Martin Luther King was shot and killed. So
yeah,
it will always be instilled in my brain that my first hockey game was the night Martin Luther King was killed.
It's very interesting how often significant social events occur during, you know, sporting events. And
it was a memory that I'll never forget. 95 wasn't built. The Vet Stadium wasn't built. The sign was up. Ivan showed us the picture of where it was going to be. I actually remember that area from me being a little kid, because my grandfather used to he was a plumber and did illegal dumping on the grounds of the Spectrum and the Vet. So,
well, you know, another major event occurred during a Flyers game. That was the end of the Vietnam War. Peace was announced, or a stoppage anyway. And I put up on the scoreboard, Vietnam War has ended. Our boys are coming home.
Wow.
That was great.
Oh, yeah. My God.
Actually,
standing ovation.
I was at that game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was very fortunate to have season tickets when I was a kid. And in fact, I even have a stub from the first when the Flyers won the Stanley Cup.
Oh, wow.
1975. And you're not going to believe this, but the cost of the ticket was $6.75.
Yeah, and that was a good seat.
And that was a great seat.
Hey, listen, I became president of the 76ers after the Flyers, and I raised the front row seats, just the front row, from $9 to $11. People went crazy. We're not coming. This is outrageous. Now they're like $11,000 a game. It's a crazy number.
And then I was very fortunate because my Aunt Bobby, Ivan was working during the games, and my Aunt Bobby said to me, you don't need season tickets. You pick me up, you take me to the game, and you can sit next to me. So I was very lucky because my dad didn't want to go to the games anymore.
Steve, I want to tell you something. That ticket can be very valuable if you get one of the Flyers to sign it, like a Bobby Clark or a
Bernie or
right. There's there's a company.
I even have two of them.
All right, there's a
company. Oh, that's nice. I love that.
There's a company that buys stubs, but it's got to be signed and have historic awareness.
All right, I will definitely call up Bobby Clark or Dave Schultz or Bernie to get that signed.
So that's I love that piece. Did you have another little piece of memorabilia hanging around?
I have a great piece of memorabilia. This is a very big piece.
Holy
heck!
The stick.
That's the stick.
In the last game of the Stanley Cup with all the player signatures.
Bring it up just a little bit more, even if it covers your face a little, and move it to your left. Go the other way. Other way, back the other way. And then there you can see the signatures. That's wild. That's wild.
Listen, what about the Pelle Lindbergh story? Because I think that's
This is a weird one, Stephen.
Is it? So when my father and I would go to the games, I was very fortunate to have parking, thanks to Lou Scheinfeld, because I used to do all the uniforms.
Oh, the corruption of the Scheinfeld.
Oh, that's how I became rich.
Yeah.
I used to do all the uniforms at the Spectrum and then the penthouse suites later on. And my father and I parked next to Pelle Lindbergh's Porsche, which here's a picture of it. And my father's, here's a better picture. And my father's response to me was, somebody can get killed in that car. And I said to him, well, that's Pelle Lindbergh's Porsche. He goes, well, I hope he knows how to drive. And a few hours later, Pelle Lindbergh was killed in that car.
Yeah, that's
You said that car came from Europe?
Yes.
It was a special car.
It was a special car.
It was custom designed.
And it was a lot of money then. And I woke my dad up and I said to him, you're not going to believe this, but Pelle Lindbergh got killed in the car last night.
Wow. Yeah. Jeez. Ooh, that gives me chills.
And my father said to me, you're kidding me. And he just couldn't believe how he said that a few hours earlier.
Yeah. Huh. Oh, that's horrid. Hey, I want to ask you very quickly. You have a couple of pieces of Museum of Sports stuff you've been working on. So we want our folks to see, because these are going to be some of the stuff that's available to buy. It can also be available for donors. And so what do you got?
This is one of our hats. We have a couple.
Oh, I like that. Very stylish.
And here's another. I also have in three other colors.
That's cool. That patch translates well. And you've got what is that, a jacket or a shirt on?
This is my shirt. I also have a hoodie that I made. And we're going to be getting some printed T-shirts in the next week.
Oh, excellent. And those are all going to be, well, once we get them, we're going to put them up on the Museum of Sports.
We're also going to have some other good stuff coming
along.
Lou actually sent me a suggestion today, which I'm already working on.
I knew you'd turn out okay.
Yeah, thanks.
after you were bullied by the
really good to me. You got me the contract for the Spectrum for the uniforms. I did that for a long time.
Yeah.
And then when you went over to the Eagles and did the penthouse suites at DeVette, I did those too. Oh,
you know what? When he tells me this, I don't remember any of it. I knew he was a good kid and did good work.
Yeah, I will tell you one thing. He always had pretty girls. The girls at the penthouse.
Here we go.
Were very, very pretty.
Yeah, one of the reasons you didn't remember it, Lou, is you had that scotch in your bar in the back of your office.
That is true.
Well, merchandising king for the Museum of Sports, Stephen Timon, you're a treasure.
I found a picture of. I found a picture. I have to find it.
He won't go away.
I'm prepared. Sorry. Of Ed Snyder birthday celebration with Lou giving him a cake.
You got to find that and send that to me. We'll promo that.
So.
But anyway, Stephen, wonderful as always. We can't wait to get your stuff up on the website and keep remembering those stories. Hopefully it's the next one's a little happier one, but that's pretty damn spooky.
The other stuff was happy when the Flyers won the Stanley Cup.
All right, Stephen.
Love you, man.
Thank you. I'll see you later.
All right. Hey, when we come back, our King of Sports collectibles when the Museum of Sports show continues on Talk 860 and Facebook Live. Back in a moment.
Can you imagine Philadelphia without the Broad Street Bullies or its fabled Spectrum Arena? Well, it almost happened until Lou Scheinfeld and Ed Snyder, otherwise known as Flash and Cash, teamed up to rescue the Flyers and got America's Showplace up and running. It was 1967, and the world was in a whole different place. You can read all about it in Lou Scheinfeld's heartfelt memoir, Blades, Bands, and Ballers. Get a signed copy at themuseumofsports.org. Themuseumofsports.org. Blades, Bands, and Ballers. Now available. The Museum of Sports Show is presented by Depatche Franklin Cardiovascular and Autonomic Center. Dr. Nicholas Depatche is a caring specialist who uses natural antioxidants, nitric oxide, and anti-inflammatory agents to treat shortness of breath, brain fog, chronic disease, autonomic dysfunction syndrome, and more with minimum medicines. To learn more, please call Nicholas Depatche, MD, FACC, at 856-589-6034. That's 856-589-6034.
Hey, buddy, what can I get you? How about the ultimate sports memorabilia basement?
We're back on the Museum of Sports Show on Talk 860 and Facebook Live. I'm Doug Scheimel along with Lou Scheinfeld. We are brought to you by the Depatche Franklin Cardiovascular Center, cue the logo. They are specialists in non-invasive treatment. If you're watching on Facebook Live, you'll understand what that is. Up next, he is our king of sports collectibles, whose family has the world's largest and most valuable memorabilia collection, well in excess of $50 million. And they are our proud partners at the Museum of Sports that is finalizing a home in the newly redesigned South Philly Sports Complex. Say hi to Nick Depatche Jr., everyone.
Hi, everybody.
So we had our merchandising guru and longtime Philly sports fan, Stephen Timon, who grew up with Lou. He has a ticket stub from the Flyers Stanley Cup win. What would something like that be worth, and what would you have to do to it to increase the value?
The value of the ticket stub itself isn't going to be overwhelming, but as Lou had suggested earlier when we were off the air, getting it signed by Bobby Clark, Bernie Parent, really any member of the team, but Hall of Famers especially, will increase the value tremendously. I would say without any autographs, depending on the condition.
To be in good condition, but that's looking at it on a Zoom, you know.
Yeah, let's just say it's in good condition. I'd say maybe like $250, $250, but but if you get it autographed, then you could double or even triple the price.
Really? And then here again, the storage, you know, are you keeping it in some sort of sleeve or something that, you know, gives it a little bit of climate protection?
Exactly. Tickets, unfortunately, paper tickets are going by the wayside these days. And I don't know how the collectability will be of them in the future. Maybe they'll be even more valuable because rare.
They're not there because I know you had said you can get commemorative type tickets that you pay extra for, you know, if you go to the Super Bowl, but most everything is an electronic ticket in one form or another. I would think it would cut in the direction you just mentioned, that they don't do them anymore. Therefore, it becomes a rarity as well.
Yeah. I'm starting a collection of barcodes and I get a bot to sign it.
Yeah. And a chain of ownership or authenticity. So what's been happening with the museum? We've seen some of the great postings, lots of folks going down, taking tours and doing all sorts of special occasions down there, Nick.
Oh, yes. No, there's a lot of influx of visitors. We do it by tours only, as you just suggested. Hopefully in the spring, we'll be doing our grand opening to the public. So it will be open for anyone to just walk in. But right now we're doing the tours. We've given out awards. We've had many generous donors. So it's looking promising. And I think if I'm not mistaken, I might be seeing a special visitor in a couple weeks.
December 10th, the advisors to the museum are coming over en masse. That means all at once. And we're going to have a luncheon and give out some nice little gifts. And to be a chance for everybody to say hello, and I hope you can come by, and your dad and Eric and Marilyn, who just wished me a happy birthday yesterday.
Oh my gosh, it was your birthday?
Happy birthday, Lou.
Not till Monday. Not till Monday.
Your mom is always.
Okay. I always rely on Facebook for birthdays.
Your mom is always ahead of things. You know that.
She's always ahead of things.
Now, we're looking at, for those of you watching on Facebook Live, we're looking at the Depatchi Museum Facebook page. You've got some sort of traitorous elements there. What are we looking at there, Nick?
You can see Tony Dorsett's game used jersey from the when he played with the Cowboys.
And what would something like that go for now?
Ooh, these days, and you can see the autograph on the helmet. I would say that jersey is probably worth $30,000 to $40,000.
Woo, really?
Yes.
Wow.
Wow. Wasn't he a Pitt boy or a Penn State or a local?
He went to Pitt, I believe.
Pitt, okay. Yeah, good. So there's he's acceptable then.
Yeah. And look, you've got, here's a group of folks that were just down there, I guess, maybe a few days ago, taking a tour. These are by reservation only, you know, just for small groups that can come down and kind of get a sneak peek at, you know, what's going to be featured at the Museum of Sports. I'm just going to see.
And a banner for Grover Cleveland Alexander. How about that?
Oh, yes. Not the president. I want to just make that clear for anyone who's listening. Not the president, but Pete Alexander. His nickname was Grover Cleveland Alexander.
Okay.
Now, what are we looking at here? If you're watching on Facebook Live, we're looking at the Depatchi Museum page. It's a billiards table, a pool table, but a very special pool table.
That belonged to the legendary Willie Moscone, who's, I mean, I never saw him play pool. I was never... he was before my time. I met him when he was in his later years,
right.
But he was a friend of my father's, and we do have the table. We got that like later. We didn't get that directly from him, but that is his table. And, as you guys can attest, I'm sure you saw him play pool, that he was the best of the best.
And I'm looking here. Moscone's pool hall was on Market Street on the north side, just east of City Hall. When I grew up, I always saw the sign. It was up on the second floor. My parents wouldn't let me go up there because, you know, pool halls were bad places back in those days.
Bad people.
But he was world famous.
Now, what are we looking at here? Some boxing. Who's that? I can't read it there.
It looks like Willie Pep.
Yeah. And I can't read. Now, some of these, look, you're still uncrating
Tommy
stuff.
Tommy Hearns, the hitman.
Like. Yeah. Then you got a Frazier shirt, a couple of Frazier shirts.
We have many artifacts from Smoke and Joe. There's George Foreman.
I'm guessing. Yeah. Yes.
And
Tim Witherspoon.
Witherspoon, wow. Yes.
Oh, wow. That's wonderful.
That's great.
Well, I actually met at the Boxing Hall of Fame up in Canastoga, New York. And yeah, Floyd Patterson, you can see. So our boxing collection's extensive.
Who's that rakishly handsome fellow there?
I think I recognize him from seeing him once or twice in my life. Yes.
At birth. When you first came out.
And what this looks like, coaching staff wear, or what is this? Old Eagles coaching staff wear.
Yes, and we're not sure exactly which coach it belonged to, but that is, those are coaches' jackets from, I would say, the 1970s.
And what would they be worth, Nick?
Well, this, like I said, isn't any particular coach, but... be worth a few hundred, maybe like 300, 350.
Yeah, and boy, I'll tell you, it's that great green with that Eagles, the flying logo with the ball.
A great
every
logo.
Time that gets reintroduced, it sells out.
And the Kelly Green is making a comeback the past couple years. They've been using it as an alternate jersey. And, I mean, we do have several game-used Kelly Green jerseys in our collection, including Reggie White. and Randall Cunningham, amongst others.
Yeah, boy, oh boy. And that's the one I remember growing up as a kid in Connecticut.
I'd ask you what you're trying to get to bring new stuff, but you don't need any new stuff.
Yeah, I think it's crowded as it is, as you mentioned, we're constantly unboxing new items, and we'll have enough to do an evergreen effect.
Yeah.
Right now, it's more of a showcase. So my dad, he made the decision to put as much as he can on the walls.
Like Lou said famously months ago, it looks like Dr. Pachi exploded. You can check out the Preview Museum down there in Sewell, New Jersey, and make a reservation for a small tour at dapachimuseum.org. Our king of sports collectibles and our partner in Museum of Sports, Nick DiPaggio Jr., thank you so much for being on the Museum of Sports show, and we can't wait to come down there and see you guys on the 10th.
Always a pleasure.
Hey, guys, that's all the time we've got. We want to thank our guests, longtime Philly sportscaster Jeff Ash, baseball barbecue king Brett Mandel, and MOA Museum of Sports merchandising honcho Stephen Timon, and our king of sports collectibles, Nick DiPaggio Jr. And don't forget to buy Lou's book, Blades, Bands, and Ballers, by going to themuseumofsports.org, and Lou will pen a personal greeting. Proceeds benefit the Museum of Sports. Museum of Sports show brought to you by the DiPaggio Franklin Cardiovascular Center. They are the specialists in non-invasive treatment. For Lou Scheinfeld, Nick DiPaggio Jr., I'm Doug Scheimel, reminding you of what our good friend Carly Simon always says, Lou.
These are the good old days.
They sure as hell are. Have a great weekend and a wonderful Thanksgiving.
Happy birthday and Thanksgiving.
Thank you.
Happy birthday, Lou.
I'm a turkey.